Hi, this is Tim.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to our Foster Parenting Podcast.
We created this show to educate and inform our friends, family,
and anyone who wants to listen
about our lives as foster parents.
Hey, we did that without notes, without the script in front of us.
Pretty good. It's like, been a while.
Like we've recorded over 100
podcasts. Over 100 of those.
And have that memorized.
But it's been a while.
Welcome back, Wendy.
Welcome back, Tim. Missed you.
Thank you. I missed you, too.
In this environment.
Venue, yes. This is fun, and it was fun to kind of just prepare, once again, to record an episode.
I like you.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that, because at times, sometimes we felt tension between us while recording that wasn't really there. I don't know.
We did?
Yeah.
Wait a second. I didn't know about this tension.
You just forgot.
Maybe. I don't feel it now.
Good. Me neither.
And we've missed our listeners and we've missed podcasting. Although this is really, we're not restarting the podcast
or anything. This is a special episode.
This is very, very special episode.
But before we get into the specialness of it, let's start with the episode.
Okay.
And let's just give them an update on our lives.
Sure.
So, Andrea is 15 now and a sophomore in high school.
Linda is 14.
And a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm. And our little itty-bitty baby is almost 3 years old.
And we can't remember what we called her in our last episode because it's been so long and we only talked about her once.
But she's great. So, parenting is kind of kicking our butt right now.
You're watering it down right there. It has not gotten any easier over 11 years. That's our message to you.
Yep. Long haul, y'all.
It is hard.
Yeah.
So, everybody's in therapy.
Yep.
And Wendy and I, we did marriage therapy, just the two of us. And why did we do that?
To deal with that tension you talked about. I think that just as, you know, as things revved up with our kids becoming teenagers and the developmental stage that brought with it for both of them, we wanted to make sure that you and I were good.
And we were good at the time.
Yeah.
But you had a great idea. You're like, hey, we're good. Let's make sure we keep operating out of that strength.
We just think therapy is a good thing to do. And we don't think it's a good idea to wait until you're at a crisis point.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's an encouragement for somebody out there who maybe just there's something from your past or going on currently that you just want to talk to somebody about. And we like it and we think it's worth the money.
Yeah. So we went weekly for almost a full year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was costly for us. It was a major investment, but far cheaper than any other kind of family crisis. And we were, we needed the help. We needed an outside voice.
Yeah.
And we needed a place where we could just maybe have somebody negotiate some rough stuff between us or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, not like a podcast.
Right. Right. I think what I would just say about parenting right now is just, I think we knew that kids who have been through trauma process it at every developmental stage. Like we had been told that, but I don't think we really quite got it. And the teen years can be and often are for kids who come through foster care. They're very difficult years. And I guess right now I'm just glad we have this permanent commitment, you know, us to them and them to us through adoption that means that we're together. You know, they're not telling a case manager that they want to move because they're our kids. And so,
they're just telling us they want to move.
So we just walk through it together, you know, and, I think deep down still their deepest fear is that we will give up on them and we will abandon them. And so our daily job is just to show that, nope, that's not true no matter what.
Yeah. Having teenagers, has given me some empathy for other teens when I was a teenager. Like there's just there's something about like how your brain kind of, when you're a teenager, when you're going through adolescence, your brain kind of just disconnects and the two sides make like alternate turns and then reconnect.
Yeah.
And
Like that's really what happens.
Well, not physically,
Right. But your
but
brain reorganizes it.
metaphorically,
No, but your brain actually does reorganize itself.
yeah. And I realize now, like, that I was frustrated with rebellious and out of control teens when I was a teenager, and now I kind of get it. Oh, that's just hard on some people. There's just some people that, like, for whatever reason, that is a very difficult thing for them to go through. And like, and meeting those teens, later, post high school, and like, they're like, yeah, I had some rough years there, but now they're, responsible adults. I'm like, oh, okay, you came through it. Like, it took you twice as long as everybody else, but yeah, like, now you're great. Like, they're.
Yeah, and now you're successfully raising kids, or you're at a place where you wouldn't look at that person and go, "Oh, it must have been really hard for you going through your teenage years." And that gives us hope for our kids as well.
But they've got just the added burdens of early childhood trauma and reactive attachment disorder and everything else to add on to that difficult transition. Yay, us.
So, what would you say if anybody's listening and they have other people in their lives who are either foster parenting or their adoptive parents or just have teenagers who are going through a really difficult time? What would you recommend for them to do or be or say for those parents
This
that
is a
they
great
know?
question that we didn't talk about beforehand, so you're going to have to answer as well. I'd say the first thing is don't give advice.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
right? Like, our moments of despair are when people try to give us advice that we're already doing. Like, we haven't been doing, X, Y, or Z.
Or like the gluten.
Somebody recommended
It's gluten. You
gluten.
try cutting out gluten.
Maybe just rub some essential oils on their feet.
Yeah, and I mean I don't want to discount that stuff too much because for some kids it is gluten,
Right, yep.
But why is advice not usually helpful for us?
Because we are super proactive parents, and people who know us know that we're proactive, and we're looking for the best ways of doing things. And yeah, we've already been so well trained, and we're rigorous in our parenting. Like, we don't make stuff up as we're going. We try to stick to a plan, and we're trying to find the best advice and follow it. And so when I think it's probably just it's super emotional for us that we don't feel secure in it, that we are trying, whatever you're recommending, we've already been doing it and it's not working, and it makes it sound like it's really our fault
Oh,
to
because
us.
we don't have the technique right with whatever it is that's being recommended. I think, I mean, I would say for me, I'm not always offended when somebody offers advice, but the best way for somebody to offer it to me is to say, "Hey, you probably already know about this, or you've probably already tried something like this, but I feel like I should tell you." That kind of thing's okay for me if they say, "Hey, have you already tried the nutrition stuff? Because I've heard about nutrition stuff." Like, assume that I'm already up to speed in the world of things that, make kids' behavior off, rather than, "Oh, you got to try this. This is going to change your life." Because you know what? Maybe it did change their life. It maybe did, and they just want to share that with you, but it's not always the most helpful. And then something else that we did that you did really like when we hit. This is the part where Wendy cries a little bit. When we hit some real road bumps in the last 6 months, and we just had people saying, "What can we do? What can we do?" Like there was nothing. It was hard to know. It's hard to
For a
know.
long time, we didn't have anything people could do.
And they said, "Let me know if there's anything I can do." And we're like, "I don't know." And finally, I think it was you who said, "You know what? You and I need date nights." And so Tim just set up a Google spreadsheet for people to either babysit our kids or
Because they still
cut,
need babysitting.
right? They still need babysitting at their age, or to cover the cost of a babysitter. And because of that, we've gotten a date like every weekend for the last few months. We've been able to actually do some really fun stuff. We've had people be tremendously generous with us. And so, like, whereas I used to dread the weekends, I actually look forward to them because I'm getting a date with you now.
Oh, nice job. Well, why is this a special episode?
It's a very special episode because we're talking about a movie that is coming out.
In November, we're doing a movie review.
We're doing a movie
And
review
this time, we're doing the movie review before the movie
before the movie
comes,
comes out.
not 2 months after it comes out, like we
Right.
did with The
Oh, is that what we did?
Blind
And the reason we get to do this before it comes out is because, well, let me rewind for a moment. As you probably all know, we've had quite a few celebrity listeners on our podcast. Not quite a few, but we've occasionally been contacted by influential people who listen to the podcast and maybe have some additional questions. And we won't tell you who they are because, we're like podcasters to the stars. I made myself laugh with that one. But you were contacted, it started a couple years ago
Right.
by one of our listeners who listened to the podcast during the time or around the time that he was going through the foster care adoption process as well.
Yeah, so writer director Sean Anders contacted me because he and his wife adopted through foster care, and he decided that he wanted to make a movie about his family, loosely based on his family.
And it's a comedy,
It is a comedy.
which sounds really scary,
He says when our family was coming together, a lot of funny things just happened, and I wanted to make a movie about that. And yeah, so he started writing a movie, and he recognized that he needed there were specific stories that we had told that he wanted more details on in case he wanted to incorporate them in his movie. And some of them are in his movie, loosely based on us, but it's mostly loosely based on him and a bunch of other foster parents and foster kids that he talked to.
So pretty much it's our story.
Yes, I would say yes, that I think every foster parent is going to watch this movie and go, "Oh, that movie's about us." Like it that was about us.
Yeah, that could have been
So
written about our lives.
yeah, just about any foster parent could say it was about us. I think foster parents will feel that's a reasonable thing to say.
So,
So
what's the movie about?
well, Sean, just to give you the extent of my minuscule input, Sean and I talked a couple times on the phone for a couple hours each, and he asked me about some of our stories just to get more details, and told me about some of the plot points in the movie and what I thought of them, and I gave him what my opinion on it was.
So it's about
But it's really not. So, but yeah, we're
Well, at
excited to come
least
out. Have
like
we said the
the
name of the movie yet?
it's called Instant Family.
Right, and Sean let me know that, hey, I wrote it, I finished writing it, and I got Mark Wahlberg to star in it, and so the studio is going to produce it because Mark
Mark Wahlberg said
Wahlberg,
yes.
and way to go, Mark Wahlberg. Way to go, Sean, getting Mark Wahlberg to say yes.
So it's Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne.
Yep.
And so obviously it's patterned after us. Come
Yeah,
on, like uncanny, right? And
because, yeah. Isn't Rose Byrne like Australian, and she's like one of those Australian accent actresses that's like always hiding her accent,
I
making
didn't
it
know that.
more American?
Oh, I didn't know that. cracking ourselves up. So this is about a couple who, they have never really talked about having kids, and then they happen upon, learning about foster care adoption, and she goes onto a website, the Adopt US Kids website, which is a real website out there, and just, is utterly broken down seeing all these kids that need families.
As is he.
And yeah, he ends up feeling the same way.
So they get trained and become foster parents and end up with three kids out of nowhere. And
One of whom is a teenager,
yep, one of
which is
them's a teenager and the
significant.
other two are elementary school age. And their lives are literally turned upside down. And we won't give away the ending. But it is a foster parent story.
Yeah, what I something that they just they didn't really focus on at all in the movie, but when the kids first come into the home, there's so many things that you see as the kids are coming in that you go, oh, that's getting broken. Oh, that's getting moved. Like little glass balls that are just decorative sitting on a table or something. Just that you automatically know, okay, this whole house is about to change.
Yeah, and what you need to know about the movie is it is a comedy, and it is funny. Like we were so glad to tell you that it is a funny movie and that
Yes.
we liked it.
Yes.
It It's a good movie in our mind. It has, you know, a story structure with conflict and resolution. You know what's going on. You're not confused. Like all the things you need in a good movie, it has. And it's funny.
Here's what I need in a comedy. I need funny throughout. So a poignant comedy like this carries the risk of turning a corner where everything's just serious, or like with even with the plot development where it's not funny enough. Every single scene in this movie is funny, and I appreciated that.
Sean's writing partner is not a foster parent, and I think probably Sean would tell you that he really held him to, hey, this has to be funny. Like
Oh, that's good.
where's the funny here? And yeah, it's throughout, but it is a true to life foster story, and that's the amazing thing about it. Like they didn't, as foster parents, we can tell you it was realistic to our experience. And other foster parents will tell you the same. It is realistic, and yet they were able to make it funny.
When we went to the screening, probably about half the room was foster parents, and that was really fun because it felt like, we're all sitting watching ourselves, except mostly us.
Well, that people kept turning around and staring at us
Right? Like,
because
wait,
they're
how'd
like,
you get up on the screen?
wait,
Marky Mark, is that you?
say hi to your mother for me.
Okay, good.
What would you give it on the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I would give it like 90%.
Really? That's not what you said before.
What did I say before?
You, well,
What
I.
did you say? What would I give it, or what will do I think it'll get?
Well, let's do that. Let's do both. What
Okay.
would you give it?
Yeah.
Well, you give it a 90%.
I give it a 90. Yeah.
Okay. I would say that it's not an Oscar-winning movie. It's not intended to be.
Right.
But I would give it like a 72. Like
Okay.
strong movie, you want to see it. It's good. It's fun.
You give it a C minus, Tim?
That's not how it works there. They don't give grades. It's fresh or not or
Well,
rotten.
mine's more fresh.
Okay, so what do you think it will get from the critics?
I think it'll get in the 80s.
Wow, 80s. Okay, I think it'll
Yep.
get in the mid 60s.
Dang.
Yeah,
Okay.
but I think people should see it. I guess we'll see who's right.
We are a very pro couple here,
Yeah, we're
I
very
get that.
enthusiastic
Yeah.
about
Okay.
it.
We're
And
enthusiastic about it because we love the content.
what you need to know is it's not a Lifetime movie. Like
Oh, right.
it's not like, hey, we just want to pull on everybody's heartstrings.
Right.
It is a movie about a family, but it is not a family movie.
Good. That's really important to say. Do not take young children to this movie.
Yeah, because
It's PG-13.
it's PG-13, and apparently it risked an R for some of the content,
There's a
and
lot of language.
yeah, a lot of language and some adult situations that teenagers get themselves into. That's about the best way to say it
Oh,
without
that's right.
spoiling it.
Yep.
So it's not a movie you want to take young kids to, but it was fine for our teenagers. We took our teenagers. They liked it. They thought it was funny. They identified with the teenage girl really well. You will not want to take 7 or 8 year olds to it,
Yeah.
even though there's a 7 or 8 year old in the movie.
Yeah. Right.
And part of the reason I think there's so much cursing in it is because they wanted to make sure it's not a family movie. Like they want it to have an edge so people know it's funny
Okay.
and it's not a Lifetime movie.
Yes.
Does Lifetime still make movies?
I don't know.
Is it still called Lifetime?
Probably.
Okay.
It's a there's Hallmark movies as well. You might say Hallmark movie, which
Which would be even softer than a Lifetime movie?
I think so. I mean, I'm not like the connoisseur of these, which is why you married me.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay, so that's what we think of it as a movie. What do we think of it as foster parents? I think we've kind of already said
Yeah, that.
that it was true to life, that it is a realistic telling of a foster parent story.
Yes, it's a realistic telling, and it touches on it very fairly, in a fair way, tells the story of the family at the center of the
Right.
story.
And the other part of it is the social workers. We didn't even talk about
Oh
this,
yeah.
but it's a great depiction of social workers.
Pretty good, yeah.
Octavia Spencer and Tig Notaro,
Look at
who is
you.
a stand-up comedian who's also adopted through foster care, they play the social workers, and they do a great job. They like usually in these things, the social worker's the meanie who's keeping somebody from getting a kid.
Yes.
And no, they're advocates and they're pushing people beyond their comfort zone, and they are funny.
We've talked on the podcast before about the bad guy, how in an adoption story, they always have to find a bad guy, and the social worker is the easy one to be the bad guy, or the birth parent, or the foster parent. Like, there's always some bad guy, and this movie successfully does not have a bad guy as one of the main characters.
Right, but it has conflict.
Yes.
Like, there is something for the characters to overcome, and that's the situation. The situation's the bad guy.
Right.
Yeah, they did
Right.
a great job of honoring everyone, even and including the birth mother, who's the
Yes.
easiest person to make out to be the bad
Who would be? Yes.
guy. So, if you haven't seen the movie, there you go. We want you to go see it. It's November 16th. If you are part of a foster agency, we think it would be a great idea for you to rent a theater and take all of your foster parents to go see this movie at once.
Parents, not children.
Right?
Don't outdo the children.
And the reason for that is the better it does on opening weekend, the more press it gets, the more people see it. And I think this may be, I don't want to speak to a hyperbole here too much, but I think this might be the most important foster movie ever made.
The most important foster movie ever made.
Because it's a movie that people want to see. Like, you don't have to be a foster parent to enjoy this movie. Just in the same way, you don't have to be Greek to enjoy My Big Fat Greek Wedding. But if you were Greek, you love that movie on a different level than everybody else. And that's the way this movie will be for foster parents.
Yes.
If you're a foster parent, you will love it in a different way than everybody else. But other people will like it. And I think that many people will choose to explore foster care
Because of
because of
this.
this movie.
Yeah,
So
that's
you
good.
want to do your part to get this word out about this movie, that it's worth seeing. So go opening weekend. If you're part of a foster agency, fill a theater with foster parents, because it is fun to be in a theater full of foster parents, because you laugh at different things.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell people before we jump into the spoilers?
Nope, that's it. Go see it.
Okay, so if you haven't seen it, then you need to stop listening now. If you have seen it and you want to know more details about what we think of it as foster parents, keep listening because we're going to get into spoilers here.
What's the spoiler jingle?
I don't know. Well, you're the jingle queen, so go ahead.
Here come the spoilers now. I made that up right there. Want to hear it again? I
Okay.
wouldn't be able to do it
So,
again.
well, I'm afraid that people are going to keep listening to the spoiler jingle because they
Oh.
enjoy it so much.
Oh, you guys. Okay.
But go ahead
I
and
can
sing it
see
one
that.
more time.
Okay. Here come the spoilers now. Yeah. That's good. Because that gives you like an extra second to turn it off.
Yeah, so if you're listening at this point and you haven't seen it, then it's your fault because she sang the jingle twice.
Well,
Like, what
you're
more could you
allowed to
want?
listen to spoilers if you want to. You've been warned.
You've been warned.
Okay, so spoil it for us, Tim.
They adopt the kids. There it goes. You just found out. There's the big reveal.
Yep. So I think we didn't want to just spoil it, but we want to talk about what we think about some of the parts that
Right. We
spoil
want
it,
to talk
right?
more. Yeah, we're not just we want to talk specifically about some of the things that would spoil the movie because we think they're important to talk through and to give you our perspective as foster parents about them.
So I want to talk about, and is it okay if we kind of go out of order?
Sure.
I want to talk about meeting the birth mom. So meeting the kid's birth
Wow, you
mom.
really want to go out of order.
That's fine, right?
I guess
You already
so.
told me I could.
You I didn't think about it hard enough, I
These
guess.
are the spoilers. Yeah. Is that right?
Now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, meeting birth mom. Well, at that point, she's mom. She hasn't lost her parental rights. So I think it's the wife who says, "I feel like I'm babysitting somebody else's kids," and it's totally like that, where you're connecting. Like, these kids are living in your home. You're connecting with them on a deep level. Now, for most of us, we meet our kids' parents before it's been a long time. But even still, after 24 hours, you feel like, "Oh my gosh, I know these kids better than anybody in the whole world." And then you take them to a visit, and they run into that person's arms, and you realize, "Oh, it is like I'm just babysitting here."
Yeah, and there are there are for sure people in your lives who want to just think of you as babysitters.
Oh, yeah.
They, for whatever reason, they've got their own agendas. You're just a babysitter, and you're not. There's no way you could be considered a babysitter. But that feeling for sure is real. So let's start back at the beginning and go through order.
Oh gosh,
I'm just kidding.
okay. What else?
One scene that I particularly loved in this movie is Pete and Ellie, the main characters, are having a really hard time. And Ellie's mom says, "You need to figure out why you chose to do this in the first place." And they go and visit an adoptive teen who was adopted through foster care, who really inspired them. Like, wow, her life was different. We want to do that for somebody else. And they show up at this family's home looking for this girl, and she's not there because she's in rehab. And it is a major gut punch because she was the reason, like, that they had hope for their own kids. And here this girl is in rehab again. And man, it's just spot on. Like, like there's still struggle, and what you thought might be true, there's so much more to it than what you got. Winnie's about to cry. Why is that?
It, like, it's just such a beautiful scene. Like, and then
It, but
when
it's heartbreaking, but you call it beautiful because
it's
it's 'cause.
beautiful because of so adopt the adoptive mom of this teen or young adult girl, is explaining what happened, and then Ellie, kind of has her emotional breakdown saying, "What the heck? I got into this because of her story, and you're telling me she's an utter failure?" And I don't know that those were the words she used, but adoptive mom slaps her across the face and says, "You do not call my daughter a failure. She's in rehab, she's trying, she's working. We're so proud of her." And like, it is like the kinds of things that you become proud of are not the things that you would have journaled about before you had kids, like, "I'm gonna be so proud of my daughter when she goes to rehab." But you are, like, there's so many things like that as a parent that are tremendously difficult for them. And then when they make the right choice and they put in the effort, you're so proud.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Wendy almost got me crying there.
Almost. I see it.
Yeah,
I'm the only one who sees Tim right now, and I'll just say, he said almost. Okay, other spoilers, things that we appreciated or didn't about the movie.
there's this great scene where the Pete's mom spoils the kids and takes them to Six Flags
Yes.
and gives
Oh, yes.
Lizzie $100. And Lizzie decides to leave
The park.
the park and go to a movie theater, and they're all sitting around for hours waiting for her to show back up because her phone's off or whatever. And when Lizzie shows up, she's brought a shirt for grandma that says Grandma Sandy, and all is forgiven for Grandma Sandy, right?
Right.
And the minute you saw that, you said, charming.
Charming.
She
Yep.
knows how to be charming,
Yep.
and that is very true of a lot of foster kids.
That's a
They,
survival skill for kids. Yeah.
yeah.
They learn to charm. And they know, I mean, she's trying to get under the skin of her foster parents, but if she can get Grandma Sandy on her side, well, then that's going to get even more under their skin.
Yeah. And just the discipline scene there was super funny with, like, "No, I'm the bad guy now." And he's like railing into her. And Ellie, the mom, wants to rail in too. And he's like, "No, I'm the bad guy." He's like, "He's the bad guy." Like, super funny. Another scene that we loved was the bedroom scene where told you, no kids. You know what, Bed? I want you to tell the story.
Yes, where they are talking about how difficult it is and how they would just want to get the kids back.
How much they hate their
How
kids.
much they hate them.
Like,
Yes.
and complaining, like how disregarded and disrespected and ungrateful the kids are. And that is, Sean Anders, the writer director, said his kids asked him if he said those kinds of things about
About
them.
them.
And he said, "Oh no, I said way worse about you."
Oh. But it was the kind of stuff that you go, "Oh, they're saying that?" And they were also struggling with the fact that people thought they were such good people for doing this. And so maybe their story would be that, when they gave him back, that, oh,
Right, they were trying to formulate
they lost the
a
rights.
way out of the story so people would still think they're saints,
Yeah.
even though they want out for their own reasons, their own emotional well-being. But like, I don't think that scene is just true of foster parents. I think it's true of all parents at some point, that you really struggle with your kids. Like, they're not who you think they are. I've said that what makes parenting so hard is that kids are terrible people. They're just terrible. Like, they're not easy to live with at all. So it was just honest, and yeah, it was easy to identify with.
And we're all terrible people at some point, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we all need love because we're terrible people.
We all need to be loved through it. Yeah.
But if you're a foster parent, by all means, feel free to say that stuff to your spouse or in counseling. Like, it's not good to pretend like you don't have those feelings. Having a feeling doesn't make the feeling something that has to be acted upon. I think that's the big lie in our society, that if you feel something, you must act on it. And that is not true. Sometimes a feeling is just a feeling, and it's okay to identify the feeling and recognize that the feeling is true, that that's what your emotions say. But what your emotions say isn't necessarily what you're going to do.
Preach. That's so good, Tim, and that's important in so many parts of our
And
lives.
it's okay to say, yeah, I hate my kids right now. It doesn't mean you're going to do something hateful to your kids. It means that's what your feeling is.
I was at a conference yesterday for foster parents, and the speaker basically said, you need to go ahead and get out whatever that is, cry it out, talk about how hard it is, complain about it, get your therapy, whatever you need so that you can come back and do the work. Because if you're holding that stuff and it's just underlying resentment, then you're not going to be able to do the work well. You're not going to be able to stay calm with your kids. You're not going to be able to love them the way they need to be loved if you're feeling that resentment underneath.
Yeah,
So it's not that we ever give up on our kids, it's that we are able to process those feelings too.
and that's exactly what Pete and Ellie do in this scene. They say, we hate them, we want to give them up. Here's maybe how we can do it. Oh no. They say the terrible things, and they're like, okay, so now what? And they say, well, we're not going to do any of those things. Of course we can't. We wouldn't do those things. Like, yeah, you can say the feelings and then have somebody say, okay, now what? And then that's where your sanity comes back in. That's where your character and your ethics and your morality come into play. And you say, no, I'm going to keep doing the right thing, even though I don't feel like it.
Great.
It's your turn.
Well, I wanted to talk about the final scene with Lizzie. Is that okay?
Sure, we're out of order, so go ahead.
Well, do you have anything else before that? Because that should probably go toward the end.
Okay. Well, the funny scene where they at the park where they see a girl who's like not engaging with anybody and not trying to find a family, and it turns out to be the social worker's daughter. You like that scene because
was funny.
it was just funny. The social worker let them know that it was not okay, all the things they were saying.
They said really negative things about the girl, yeah.
Yeah. The other scene that comes to mind is October. I think a woman named
Yes,
October who's in training, who's getting certified, and she wants the blindside kid. She wants to
Right.
help an athlete reach his Division I abilities. And I thought it was brilliant for them to have to make fun of the blindside in this movie, because that's the other big foster parent movie, right? Like, so let's just go ahead and tie ourselves to it somehow and make fun of it.
Yeah.
And the other thing I liked about it is that there are people like that. Like, I remember you telling me that you got a call from somebody saying, hey, if you get any calls about kids
A kid who's
who's
really
a
good at piano,
piano who's a
yep.
piano virtuoso, just give me a call back and we'll get certified.
Yep.
That's a real call you got.
But so what we didn't love about this movie is that she gets through the whole process,
Right.
right? And then she's placed with a kid who's not that, and she's disappointed, and that's difficult for her. I mean,
And
she
they do
still does the
that
work,
and they
but
do that for comedy.
they do it for
Like,
comedy.
she is a comedic moment, so they get some license for comedy's sake.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah, but
but
we're
that
like,
person should
oh, that
not,
kid, that
yeah,
lady.
that person should not be certified,
Right.
and in most circumstances is not.
And then the other representation we did not like was the Christian couple. We're a Christian couple,
Right. And we
and
know super cheesy Christians. We've met them.
we've met them.
We've never met
They're our
Christians.
brothers and sisters. We love them, but we know they're super cheesy. But
We've never met Christians who are quite as cheesy as the people in this movie.
so they talk about how the Lord is calling them to adopt a baby. And
But they
yes, people
don't.
talk that way, but they keep calling him the big guy. I've never heard an actual Christian use the term the big guy. Never, never, ever.
I don't know why they chose that. Maybe
Well,
they
they
just thought it
didn't.
was funny.
They forgot to consult us on the faith part.
And
So they end up getting placed and everything, but
they're not a big character. It's
no.
just one thing.
Yeah.
There are the foster parents that initially have the kids. They're in it for just for the money. And yes, there are foster parents who are in it for just the money. And yes, they speak derogatorily
They may speak
about the kids
derogatorily,
right in front
yeah.
of them. That is true. But the movie does a good job of saying most parents aren't like this at all.
Right, not representing most families as
But
that,
yes,
yeah.
that is true that there are people like that that look like brother and sister and not in a good way.
Careful. Okay. Okay, now can I talk about that scene?
Well,
Anything else you wanted to share?
is there any like you just better make sure because you got the final scene here going, right?
Okay, I'm just astounded by this because you used to want to do like 15-minute podcasts and we're at 36 minutes.
I've grown. Fine.
Okay.
Talk about the final scene.
Okay, so one of the final scenes is this moment where, we didn't talk much about Birth Mom, but the way that she sabotages herself, and that
Oh,
she's
yeah.
using again. I mean, they really condensed that to what the actual experience is like, but it was for the drama, they were able to do that really well.
Yeah, we should just talk about that. Yes, birth parents get their kids back. That's the goal in most of the cases,
Right.
to get kids back in with their birth mother. And birth mothers do get their kids back. And that is some, like, once you adopt your kids, you don't need to worry about that. But before you've adopted,
They're not your kids.
they are the birth mom's kids.
Yeah, and I think what we should also point out in that courtroom scene where they're laying out all the terrible stuff about the foster parents that makes them look really bad, and then they're talking about how birth mom is doing what she needs to do, that doesn't happen either, where they're comparing who's the better parent.
Right.
What they're determining, at least in our state, we can speak for California, but I believe this is true of foster care everywhere. What they're determining is this mother fit? Is she fit to take care of her kids? Has she completed her case plan in such a way that we feel confident that she'll be able to parent her kids when they come back to her? Nothing matters about the foster parents. So that part was off.
But it was also for a little bit for comedy.
For comedy, yes, right.
And yeah, so if you want to foster, you need to know that yes, the kids may be returned to the birth mother. You also need to know that there are many instances where they do not return to their birth families.
Yeah, and you shouldn't become a foster parent unless you can eagerly support reunification, unless you can champion the idea that kids would go back to their birth family if it's appropriate. And that's a whole other training and conversation. So can I please talk about the scene now? So in the moment where their mom sabotages herself and it's determined that she's not going to be able to reunify with the kids. Lizzie runs off, the teenager, and Ellie and Pete are trying to talk to her, trying to tell her how they love her. And we just loved Joan Cusack all of a sudden
Out of
pops in
nowhere
out
has
of
a cameo.
nowhere. She has this wonderful cameo as the homeowner of the house that Lizzie has gone into the backyard of, and she keeps interrupting in like the funniest, most beautiful ways.
Right. And I think that character is going to be controversial for some because it's an important emotional moment. And Joan Cusack keeps piping in. But I think it was brilliant from a movie perspective to take the tension out of it. Because it's supposed to be a comedy, and this is an incredibly tense moment. And hey, just remember, it's just a comedy. Like, we're going to give you this emotional moment, but we're going to keep it as light as possible. And we're not going to make Pete and Ellie tell jokes because that would be inappropriate in this moment. So we're going to have somebody else throw some humor into it. And I just loved after they leave and she wants to talk to the social workers about all of her feelings about this. Yes. Like, I just have a lot of feelings.
Yep.
Like, and I said, she's kind of like the audience. Like, we just watched this. She just watched this. And she's saying what the audience is feeling. Like, man, that was beautiful and hard. And I can't believe I got to see that. Now I've just got all these emotions about it. Like, that's how the audience feels when they see it, too.
Yeah, that's true. She was us, for better or for worse.
Yep.
So we love the movie. Well, I love the movie.
You love the movie more than
Tim
I did.
Tim thought the movie was a solid C-.
That's so unfair.
I'm sorry, babe.
Let me just clarify.
That's just what you said.
Let me just clarify. Like, a 90 is like an Oscar-worthy movie. Like, you
no,
gotta...
Have you seen what they do now? No,
right.
These Marvel movies.
Yeah, the Marvel movies get 90s, that's true.
Yeah.
And the Marvel movies are fine, but they're not 90s in my book. And so, take that
you're
into account.
Very controversial.
Take that into account when I say it's like a solid 76.
Okay. 76?
What did I give it before?
72.
Oh, so it just went up 4 points to kind of meet your sliding Rotten Tomatoes score.
All right. Well, we've loved being back with you, listeners. You might feel like Joan Cusack right now.
Go eat some pie.
Go eat some pie. We have loved this journey with you. And
yes.
That's it.
That's it for today. If you have any questions, feel free to comment on our Facebook page or our website, fosterpodcast.com.
Or send us an email, info@fosterpodcast.com.
If you've ever thought about becoming a foster parent, oh wait, we're messing it all up.
Names have been changed.
Names have been changed in this podcast to protect privacy of those involved.
If you've ever thought you might adopt or foster, we challenge you to take the next step today.